I've got a gold nugget I want to share with you today. I found it in Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 8. Before I read this, I want to ask a question. What do you think about when you are thinking of nothing? When you're not thinking about anything? What is the default setting for your thought pattern? Listen to what Paul said in Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, and pure, and are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul is telling us that this should be our default settings. David says, princes set and spake against me, but I, your servant, did meditate in your statutes. And again, the psalmist says, they dealt with me perversely, without a cause, but I meditated in your precepts. I will meditate also of all of your works and talk of your doings. This is a good default setting for your thinking process. Let the words of God, His ways and His works, permeate your brain, permeate your thoughts. Think on good things, Paul says. Things that are of good report. Let them fill your minds day and night. David said, on your commandments and on your word, I meditate day and night. And now it's lesson time. Scoot up your chair and lean in. When we stopped our lesson yesterday, we were speaking from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book of creation, the book that Jesus himself read. In today's lesson, we're going to continue. Let us turn to Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Over the years, several concepts have been given as an alternative to creation. No Christian study would be complete without mentioning the creation evolution controversy. In this modern so-called scientific age, those who embrace the Bible creation story are viewed by many as dummies or simple-minded people. To believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth may be a simple concept, but it is not a simple-minded one. Those who believe the Bible story of creation contends that the universe does not hold within itself an explanation for its origin or its own existence. Brilliant minds and true scientists agree with this. In today's lesson, I'd like to share with you two scientific laws that must be heeded in order to study this creation story. The first of these two laws are causality. This scientifically recognized law states that every result is the effect of a cause, and no effect is greater than its cause. This means everything has to have a cause. If one moves backwards from one effect to its cause and keeps moving backwards, one will eventually come to something that is uncaused, that is an uncaused cause. What does this mean? It means that at some point, One crosses a line, moving from the finite to the infinite. Infinite means that which has no boundaries. The infinite is not bound by time. It has always been. It is not bound by space. It is everywhere. Infinite means without boundaries of any type. There is an infinite cause. By definition, God is infinite. God has no boundaries. The cause of the universe has to be an infinite cause. It has to be a supernatural cause. This supernatural cause must be God, the prime mover, as it is so often referred to scientifically. The second scientific law is the law of specified complexity. There is a scientifically recognized type of order called specified complexity. This order is complex, meaning it consists of various parts, but it also has a specific purpose. For example, one could look at the human body as a specified complexity. It has various parts, yet each part serves a specific purpose in terms of the whole. Scientist says that any time one sees a specified complexity, there must be intelligence behind it. There is just no way to have specified complexity without intelligent intervention. This is not me talking. This is not a teacher talking. This is a true scientific fact. For instance, a person walking on the seashore and along the beach, he sees items normally found on the beach. Rocks, seashells, a few dead starfish, wood, plastic debris, and many other types of litter. These items does not represent a specified complexity. It may be complex, but it has no specified purpose, no meaning. It all just happened. No intelligent being arranged it. However, suppose you walking along the beach and suddenly you see a sandcastle, or you notice that the logs and rocks and debris are shaped in the form of the word love. This is a specified complexity. It is complex, made up of different parts, but it has a specified meaning, specified purpose. When you see this, when you see the word love written by all of this debris, you know that an intelligent person did it. One does not have to speculate whether the ocean waves or the wind caused this word, nor do you wonder if the wind blew them into existence. You automatically know that an intelligent mind was behind both that sandcastle and the letter love written with debris. Specified complexity always indicates intelligence. And my friend, that is a scientific law. When one looks at the universe, when one sees all the beauty and the intricacies of planets and animal life on this earth, when one glances at the mirror, for example, the human body, are you looking at a specified complexity? Or do these things represent a mere random happening, such as the litter on the beach? The answer is obvious. Whenever one sees a specified complexity, one knows for sure and can see an intelligent intervention. There is a law that says whatever caused some effect in the past will always cause that same effect in the future. Whatever causes specified complexity will always cause specified complexity. These two laws of science affirm the following. The beginning of the universe had an infinite cause, and that infinite cause had to have been an intelligent cause, not a random force. Christians well understand that the intelligent cause is simply another way of making reference to the Almighty God. Have you ever wondered what Jesus was thinking when he read this book? You do know that this is the book that Jesus read. It's not recorded anywhere in the scripture that Jesus ever had a conversation with those who were of another persuasion concerning the creation of the earth. But I believe that if he had been confronted by the evolutionists, he would have simply said, "It is written, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That can be your reply also.